All right. Hey, if you're just joining us, we started this series from a point of understanding that we are all wired for relationships. We all crave relationships, but relationships are hard. They're hard work, takes a lot of effort, and if they're done well, they can be our greatest source of joy. Good, good. And if they're not done so well, they can be our deepest cause of pain. All right. Some of you have got it. The others need to go back and listen to the podcast. Watch the YouTube. You know, as I was thinking about that this week, our mission statement as a church is over here on the wall. It says, striving to be a loving community, seeking, serving, sharing Jesus. You know, that embodies relationships. The striving to be addresses the complication of it right away. It says, okay, we know we're not there yet. But the loving community brings into focus the fact that we are trying to be in good relationship with each other. And then the rest of it says, seeking, serving, sharing Jesus. Where does all that happen? In the context of relationships. I'm excited about that because, you know, as we preach through the book of Ephesians and study through the book of Ephesians together, we can have that in focus all the time, why we're here. If you've missed the first three episodes or the first 3 weeks, we started out understanding that we need to be growing in our knowledge of God, our understanding of God, and our experience of Him. And then we talked about we all need that but God moment in our lives where we cross the line of faith because we were sinners, but God stepped in, made a difference, and then we can have a relationship with Him. Then last week we learned that God gives peace where there is no peace, and because He gives peace, then we are able to have peace with others. So if you missed any of those, again, go to the podcast, go to the YouTube channel. By the way, if you're listening on the podcast or watching on the YouTube channel, welcome. We are so excited that we have you as an audience as well. We want you to feel like you're just as much a part as the people in the room. So we're excited that you're here with us. So last week, we saw sort of a transition in Paul's letter. He went from talking about our relationship with God to our relationship with each other. He talked about the wall. Justin talked in the morning. There was a wall, but there is no wall. And he said God tore that down, and it gave us peace with God. And because God tore down that wall, gave us peace with Him, we are able to have peace with each other. That's the me and God's family part of things. Justin, I need some help up here. Do you think you could pull up some friends? There's a song in my head right now. Yeah. Okay, come on. You can do this. I know you can. You got your guitar. You're all ready for this. All right. There's a song that I remember when I was growing up. Actually, I was a youth pastor. You use the mic. Yeah. So they want to hear you, not me. Trust me on this part. I did harmonies last week in Dione's ear because they didn't mute me when. Yeah. Anyway,
I had to pray over the entire creative team.
Yeah. They got a shock. They got a shock. But anyway, it's a song called "Lean on Me." Right? You know that song? No. Because that's all about relationships. So bring up some friends. There we go. You do know that song. Don't mess with me. All right, you're fired. Anyway.
That one?
Yeah. That's it.
Okay.
I can't even clap.
Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain. We all have sorrow.
I think yeah.
But if we are wise like Stan, we know that there's always be mine.
Hey,
lean on me.
Join them.
When you're not strong, and I'll be your friend, and I'll help you carry on. For it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. Will you just call
me brother
when you need a hand?
We all need somebody to lean on.
I just might have a problem that you love.
Oh, come on.
We all need somebody to lean on.
Everybody lean on me.
When you're not strong,
hey!
And I'll be your friend, and I'll help you carry on. For it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean
somebody to lead.
Well done, well done.
Oh.
Well done, guys. Thank you so much. That's why I need friends. What?
Are we done?
You're done. You're eating into my time now, so there we go. So, isn't it great to have fun in church? Yeah, that was a bit of fun. I thought it was a bit of fun. It was fun for me. I hope it was fun for you and you enjoyed that. Hey, as I was thinking this week, we traveled a little bit, and I thought about when I was growing up and when my kids were growing up, really, there was these things called maps. Anybody remember maps? Yeah? Google Maps. Yeah. Well, this is the best I could do. The maps I remember were about three times this size. Anybody remember those? And you'd be driving along in your car, and you're lost because Scott didn't stop and ask for directions, right? Right? No? Didn't need to. Okay. Didn't need to. And we'd open up this big map that's three times this size in the car while we're driving, right? You remember that? Right? That was good fun, wasn't it, Rob? This was pre-Rubik's Cube. Remember Rubik's Cube? Right? Where you have to get all the colors aligned. Rob, here you go. Your task during the service. Put that back together. There we go. And then when we came to Australia, that's the kind of maps we had in America, driving up and down the East Coast and all that. When we came to Australia, I was introduced to this thing. Yeah. Anybody still have one of these? Wow. It's only so that when you don't have any signal, right, with your GPS, your phone, right? And what I discovered, we got one of these beauties. By the way, this was 2009, so it's probably the second one I bought because we came in 2001, and I'm cheap. I wasn't going to buy a new one every year. But what we discovered was that when you have an old Melway and you're trying to go somewhere, either you're trying to find a house to rent, which we did when we first got here, or you're going to visit someone in the church, if they live in a new area, guess what? It ain't there. Thanks, Rob. It's not there. And I got pretty adept at this. What? It's what? It's still not there, right? But I loved it. I could be driving down the road, okay? And don't try this at home, but I could be driving down the road, and there's this page, and then it links to this page back here, and that page links to this one. And you're driving while you're looking at all that and everything, right? And they think it's dangerous for us to talk on our mobile phones. I don't understand. But anyway, but we could use a Melway. Old Melways don't show new roads. They don't show new pathways. Today, as we continue to unpack what the me and God's family looks like, as Paul shows us through the book of Ephesians, what we're going to discover is Paul refers to something he calls the mystery of God. And God reveals that mystery. It's like an old map was there, but God showed them something new. God updated the Melway, if you will, for our practical terms. He's showing them the new path. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. Sharon just read that for us. It says, this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. You see, what Paul's revealing here by God, God allowed him to do this, is that God's plan was to make us one people. God's plan was that you and I, everybody on the planet, would be one people. The first part of the letter, Paul's speaking mostly to our personal relationship. He's talking about personal relationship with God. Now he's talking about people. From person to people, from individual to communal. And he says here that God's plan is that all who believe the good news, all who believe in Jesus, Jews and Gentiles, that's Jews and everybody else on the planet, if you believe, you're one people. That's what God's plan was. Everyone included. In Revelation, it talks about every tribe, tongue, and people group. It says this, with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. God's saying, I want to make you one people. The Jews didn't like this idea of inclusion very much. They were irritated by it. In fact, for them, it would have been the spiritual equivalent of saying lepers who were isolated from society were now free to go about interacting and mingling just like every other normal person on the planet. All the lepers are free now to join us in our fellowship. See, the Jews who were upset about the inclusion of Gentiles would not have understood the fact that this was the promise that God had made to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, when God told Abraham, he says, I'm going to make you a great nation, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed because of you. They missed that part. And then one of their very own prophets called Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet to the Jews, and he wrote down the things that God told him. In chapter 9, verse 46, it says this, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. See, the Jews that had a problem with inclusion forgot about all these things. They forgot that God's plan was bigger than them, that God's plan was inclusive, not exclusive. See, the Jews didn't want others to be a part of their special club. They wanted it to just be for them, their identity. They were exclusive rather than inclusive. In our world today, we see people with the same attitudes. People want to exclude rather than include. There were a couple of shootings in my homeland this last week, and 30-something people are dead. 22 of them were in the state of Texas, and the shooter apparently had written on a blog or a forum that the reason he was going to do this, his motivation was the invasion of Hispanic immigrants. And that's a common phrase used in the United States these days, before the shooting. I bet they'll stop using it a little bit more now. But that was fueled by hate for other people that are different. It's exclusion rather than inclusion. Many in society, even Christians, still have exclusive attitudes and do not want to include people that are from another race, another country, that speak other languages, that look different, act different, sound different than themselves. While this may be common in society, God's family has no place for this. God's family should have no marks of racism or exclusion. When we first came to Australia, very early days, we were church planting, and most of you know the story. You were a pagan nation before we came. Now look around. God's working everywhere. And for those of you that are visiting with us, that is a joke, and it's got a long story that I can't take time to share. But anyway, this church we were working with, we were at lunch one day after church with some of the founding members of the church, kind of the in crowd of the church. And this older gentleman leaned over to me at lunch and said, Stan, what are you putting in that newspaper ad that's bringing in all the foreigners? Now, you may not have picked up my accent yet. How do I answer that? So with my best Australian accent, I said, nothing, mate. You know, anyway. See, I can't do it. So he was appalled by me as well, I guess. Hey, there was another time Deanna used to get her nails done back in the day. And I don't know what day it was. It's just a phrase, back in the day. You know, you just say it to fill in time and waste time. Anyway, so she got her nails done this one time. And somebody had noticed her nails and was asking her where she got them done, commenting on them. They were lovely and, you know, all that girly stuff. And I'm sorry, I'm not including you guys. If you get your nails done, good on you. If you're in touch with that. Yeah, where was I going with this? Yes. So Deanna got her nails done. This lady was complimenting them. And then she proceeded to tell Deanna how long it took her to search out and find an Australian to do her nails. Because she didn't like the fact that most of the nail people, whatever they are, were foreigners. And this was a lady who was kind of a pillar in the Christian circles, in the church communities. This kind of thinking should not characterize us as followers of Jesus. There's no room for it. See, what happens when we exclude others? Often, we're doing it out of our own fear, our own insecurities, maybe our own ignorance. It's because we are afraid. We're afraid that we won't understand, or that they don't understand. We think we understand everything and they don't understand. But we're afraid that if we embrace people that aren't like us, we might have to change a bit of who we are to make room for them. You see how that works? But that's fear. That's our own fears and insecurities. And we wrongly assume that our way of doing things is the only right way of doing things. Now, we all know that my way of doing things is the only right way, right? No, Rob says it's his. I'm sorry, Rob. Bro, you're wrong. You're excluded, Mike. Go. No, just kidding. See, God said, I got a new map for you. There's no exclusivity. There's inclusivity. I want to include everyone. In verse 7, Paul says this, by God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. See, God's plan is to make us one people, and it is a privilege for us to share God's plan. That's what Paul was saying there. He says, I count it a privilege to be able to share God's plan. See, for God's plan to work, it has to be shared. If Paul had kept silent, once God revealed his plan to him, if Paul had kept silent, the plan would not have executed. Actually, God would have probably found somebody else, because God's kind of like that. If we don't do what he wants, he'll find somebody else. He'll let the rocks do it, he says. But Paul says, it's a privilege to share that plan. See, God saved Paul by his grace. And by that same grace, he gave him a ministry of preaching the good news of Jesus to the Gentiles. He said, Paul, I want you to go do this. And then Paul was not only saved by God's grace, he was then made a steward by God's grace, and he was made a steward of God's grace to share it with other people. And then God gave him the power, it says there, by God's grace and power. God gave him the power to accomplish that ministry of making Jesus known to the Gentiles, of making this message of inclusion known. Paul could not have done that in his own strength. It's by God's mighty power. We get the word dynamite from that Greek word dunamai there. And it says God empowered him. God stuck dynamite under him, you might say, to give him that kind of power to share the good news to the Gentiles. Paul says, I'm not worthy of this. I'm the least of everyone that should be asked to do this. But I count it a privilege. And then Paul's privilege landed him in prison. He's writing this letter to the church that is at Ephesus at that time. He's writing that letter from a prison cell. He said, I believe so much in God's plan that I risked my own health, my own safety, my own security, my own relationships before, even my very life, to share God's plan. Because Paul was obedient in sharing God's plan with his generation, you and I are here today. Did you know that? Because Jesus died on the cross, rose again, and then because Paul was a steward of that plan and he was obedient to that stewardship, you and I are sitting here together today. You connect all the way back to there. That's why we are together today. It's why we have a community of faith. And now that we have this understanding, we also have that same commission. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 says that Paul was committing these things so that we would be able to teach others also. That's our job, is to teach others also. Now that we understand God's plan to include people in the gospel of Jesus Christ, our job, our commission, by God's grace, is to share that with other people. That means we tell others about the good news that they can be a part of when they don't even understand that they can be a part of. The Gentiles, before Paul came along, they never dreamed they would be included in God's plan. That was Judaism. That was for the Jews. They didn't have an idea that that could include them. It means that you and I need to, like Paul, share without concern of our own safety, our own health, whether people are going to like us or not, whether we're going to move forward in our jobs or not, whether we're going to be favored in the relationships or not. We need to share the good news of Jesus without fear of the sacrifice. See, Paul saw it as a privilege to sacrifice. He saw it as a privilege to suffer. We tell everyone. We don't exclude anyone. Think about the people you might exclude when you're talking about sharing your faith. And for many, many, you'd say, I exclude everybody because I don't share my faith. That's between me and God. Well, friends, we're here to share our faith. That's why he leaves us on the planet after he saves us. But if you were going to share your faith, who would you exclude and who would you include? You might go find people that were kind of like you. Maybe other Bombers supporters who are grieving deeply this morning, wondering what happened in the world. But would you go to people that aren't like you? About 15 years ago, I was pastoring a church here in Australia. And early days, I met with our key youth, our children's ministry leader. And he was sharing with me excitedly about the history of the kids' ministry. Now, this church was about 60, 65 people. And he said, there was a time when we actually did our kids' ministry through the week at a school. And we had about 70 or 80 kids that would show up to that. And it was the best thing we ever did, moving it here. Because now we only have to worry about our 20 kids. And I tried not to do that. It was everything I could do to sit there in my chair. Actually, I wanted to choke the person and think, what are you thinking? Later on, this guy left that church because he told me, we're leaving and we're going to this other church because we believe that this church would be too evangelistically focused. Breathe. Yeah, you're appalled, aren't you? I hope you're appalled. Another story. I was 14 years old. It was before I was a believer, but I was very religious. I'd grown up in churches and that. And I was living with an auntie and uncle in South Carolina, and I went to church with them, and it was my first youth group experience. And this group, they met regularly, and they did activities like going to amusement parks. And one thing they did is every Wednesday night, they would go out, and they would go door knocking to share Jesus with people. Okay, I didn't even know Jesus. I thought I did, but anyway, it's all complicated. And I would be like the first one there, the last one to leave. I was cleaning everything up, and I was excited and fired up to go. And one day, the youth pastor pulled me aside and said, hey, can I have a chat with you, Stan? And I'm excited. I'm thinking, okay, yeah, he sees I'm doing good, yeah? He said, Stan, if you're going to keep hanging out with us and doing the things that we do here, you're going to need to look more like us. I didn't even have tattoos back then. Really, what he meant, my hair touched my collar sometimes if I needed a haircut. That's what he was talking about. And I didn't have the expensive clothes that they did and stuff like that. It was exclusion, not inclusion. It was more concerned about how I looked when I went and hung out with the youth group than he was. He never asked me about my spiritual journey. Never asked me if I really knew Jesus or explained to me what that was all about. Think about how it feels to be excluded. We've all been excluded at times. Maybe you were as a kid and they were picking teams and you're the last one picked, right? You ever experienced that? Or maybe it's based on your gender and through life, you felt like you were pressed down or held back because of your gender. Or maybe it's your race. You were in a situation where you didn't get a job promotion or you didn't get this or that, or you were excluded from a certain group because of who you are, where you were born, the language that you spoke. Sometimes Christians forget that it's a privilege to share the gospel, which is inclusive of everyone. Look at verse 10. It says, God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. See, God created the church, that's his people, that's you and me, for a purpose. The purpose was inclusion. It says, in all of this, inclusion, spreading the good news of the gospel, peace with others, everyone inheriting the same eternal riches. And he says this, God created the church to show off. Did you see that? He said so he could show the people in the heavenlies, he could show the angels. And what I envisioned this, that was his wisdom to say, angels, look at the variety of the church. Now imagine this with me. Put your fun cap on for a second, if you can have fun in church. We've already established that earlier. And God's looking down, and he's looking at Werribee Baptist Church, and he said, hey, angels, look. See the variety in that place? You see the kids? You see the newborns in that place? And do you see the young adults, the teenagers? And do you see the middle-aged people that are just starting their families and all that? You're not quite middle-aged. But then the middle-aged who have teenagers and are really struggling, by the way. And then he said, do you see the 100-year-old person there? Look at the variety. And then he says, hey, look, there's people that have blue-collar jobs in that church. There's people that have white-collar jobs in that church. There's people that have no jobs in that church. And they're all getting along together. And he says, hey, look at this one. There's people in this church, that church there, WBC, they don't even agree theologically on everything. And they're all wrong. You know that, angels, right? But they don't fight about it. They still get along. Because the focus is on Jesus. And then I can imagine him pulling up DC Talk on his playlist on Spotify, or maybe it's Godify. I don't know if it's God doing it. And this song starts playing, and he says, look at all the colors. And the song's not playing. Wow, that was a perfect cue. Let it go. There's a song that they sang, and it talked about all the people together that were from different backgrounds, different nations. And there's a verse in the song that says this, a piece of canvas is only the beginning. It takes on character with every loving stroke. This thing of beauty is the passion of an artist's heart. By God's design, we are a skin kaleidoscope. Wow. And if they'd given me backing tracks, I'd have sung that for you. Not really. But see, I can imagine God looking at us and saying, wow, look, angels, I'm showing off. This was my plan. See the variety, see the church, see my wisdom in pulling all this together. Maybe some of you don't know the DC Talk song, but you would remember red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. God wants to show off his wisdom from the church. And he says, they're all accepted in the same place. They're all from different places, and they all have equal access to me. That's what's so beautiful about it. The church is a diverse community of people reconciled to God. It's a caring community that's demonstrating love, that crosses barriers, crosses borders, and serves one another. And Paul says, when he's thinking about that, he says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with the inner strength through his Spirit. Well, we understand Paul saying here is the church accomplishes his purpose by his power. We, as his church, can accomplish God's purposes by his power. He says, when I think of all this, if we went back to verse 1 of chapter 3, he started chapter 3, when I think of all this, and everything else we just said was actually a diversion of Paul's. Now he's coming back to his main point. When I think of all this, I pray. I pray to the God who made everything. God is the creator of everything. He has unlimited power to execute his plan. As we work out his plan, we need to first of all understand his plan, not ours. Sometimes we get those two things confused. Sometimes I get those things confused. And when we're working out his plan in his power, not our own power, again, I get those confused sometimes. I'm sure you do as well. When we're working his plan and his power together, that's when we can be inclusive. That's when we can say there's room for everyone, because that's his plan, to make room for everybody. It's not always easy to be inclusive. Because even people that are like us sometimes are not likable. People that are different from us, sometimes it's hard work, isn't it? Is it hard, or is that just me? You're all better at it than I am? I think it's hard work sometimes. See, it only happens by his power working in us that we're able to do that. See, we need to view people the way that he does. And how does this happen? Look at verse 17. It says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts. As you trust him, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. See, our power to be His people comes from a deeply rooted and grounded relationship with God. That's where that power comes from. It's not just because we want to. It's because we have relationship with Him. And it starts with the personal. We've talked about that the last 3 weeks, the personal relationship with God. Then the personal empowers the communal. We can't do the communal until we've had the personal. See, it starts by exercising faith in Christ. And it says He comes and lives in our hearts. And He takes up residence. And as we let Him have more and more of us, as He moves in and takes over more and more of our hearts, then we have the power to say, yeah, that person's different from me, but they're included in God's plan. I need to share God's plan with them. Without Christ in our hearts, without us deeply understanding the love that God has for us, we are powerless to share that love with others. When we understand the love God has for us, then we have all the power, the unlimited resources of God in heaven to be able to share His love. God's plan is to make us His people, to accomplish His purpose by His power. If you have had that "but God" moment in your life that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, there's a time in your life where you went from the before when you were a sinner to the after, where God stepped in, interrupted your life, and saved you by the blood of Jesus. If you've had that experience in your life, you know what? You have a personal relationship with Him. And that makes you a part of God's people. That makes you a part of God's family. And you have the privilege of sharing God's plan with others. You see how that works? You get a personal relationship with Him. You're a part of God's people, something beautiful and wonderful. Now you got the privilege to be sharing His plan with everybody else. What does that mean for us as a church? Excuse me. For far too long, the church worldwide has been known for the wrong things. Been known for judgmentalism. The church is anti-everything, right? We're anti-fun. Anything fun, the church is against, right? And that's our reputation outside of these walls. It's not been a place where outsiders have felt welcome. I'm talking the church worldwide, not necessarily our church, but certainly our church would go through seasons of this too. And people make jokes about church, and they say, if you invite them along, they say, oh, if I came in, the roof would cave in, right? You've heard those kinds of things? They have a misunderstanding of church, and they think that it's an exclusive club for certain types of people, and that's not them. Now, they're sadly mistaken, obviously. But I wonder how much of that we project out there. How much of that do we fuel by the way we behave to outsiders? One of the saddest points of view came when I was having a spiritual conversation with a friend of mine. And I've been tracking with this guy for a couple of years. And his brother actually became a believer in the U.S. And he was telling me about his brother who's now, he's a born-again Christian. And I was getting excited. He's like, okay, I've been working on you. Now your brother's working on you. And his brother's telling him all the stuff he has to do to come to a relationship with God. His brother's a young believer, zealous. And my friend asked me, because I said, so what would stop you? Why don't you believe? And he said, you know, this guy thinks he's a really good person, morality-wise, and he probably is, from worldly standards. He's a good guy. He said, when I look around and I see the racism that the church perpetuates. And he's going back to the initiation of the Ku Klux Klan, things like that. And then there's this other church, Westboro or something in the States, that is really mean and nasty and says all kinds of hurtful things. And I dare say he probably reads things like what Israel Folau put out on social media. And he said, if all of those people who seem to be filled with hate are okay with God and I'm not, how does that work? It's so frustrating for me. It makes me so sad because Christianity as a whole, the church as a whole, has dug such a deep, deep hole that we have to try to help people get out of, to correct their understanding, to help them understand they're not excluded, but they are included. The church should attract people, not repel them. Andy Stanley says this. He says that he wanted to have a church where unchurched people love to come. See, that church looks like a diverse church, a church that's inclusive, a church where there's a place for everyone, a place that wherever you're at on your spiritual journey, you don't have to look like, dress like, talk like, act like, or even believe like I do to belong with us. That's the kind of church that I believe Paul was talking about to the Ephesian believers. He said, include everyone. Yes, they have to believe before they'll actually be one. But you should not exclude them from welcoming them in. I want to encourage you to do two things today. Three things. First of all, stand up. That's the first one. Stand up with me. As we finish the service today, can I encourage you? Go talk to somebody different than yourself. Somebody very different that doesn't look like you today. And then, this week, invite someone on the outside that doesn't think they could ever belong on the inside and bring them along to church with you. Let them experience what we have here. Let them experience a loving community. And by the way, if you bring a lot of people next week, please, please, please try real hard. Strive to be that loving community so they'll see the church different than what they're hearing the church is out there. Why? Because God's plan was to create one people to accomplish his purpose by his power. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity today to look into your word and to understand that your plan was bigger than the Jews and your plan is bigger than the people under this roof right now. Help us, God, to get beyond ourselves, to look beyond ourselves and to realize that your plan is to include, not to exclude. And Lord, help us when we see people that look different than us and talk different and Lord, that honestly offend us and Lord, some of the things they do offend you, we believe that. But Lord, they're not following you yet. Help us to see them as people that Jesus died for. And Lord, give us the power to be sharing your plan in Jesus' name. Amen.